another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Elizabeth Holtrup, and I am so happy that you've chosen to tune in again for another episode. I'm very excited to welcome Jan Mills to our episode today as our special guest. Jan has just finished up a term serving as the chairman of the Texas Bankers Association, and I am really pleased to talk to her about the work that's been accomplished, what TBA has been focusing on. We recently talked to Chris Furlow, who is our president and CEO of the Texas Bankers Association, so I'm excited to kind of continue this focus, speaking with Jan about the work that TBA has been doing and her focus as the chairman for this past year. So I'm going to start with just a short bio, Jan, and then we're going to get into a pretty good conversation, I think. So Jan Mills serves as president and chairman of the board of First National Bank of Winnsboro, Texas, a $160 million community bank founded in 1893 in rural Northeast Texas. She began her banking career over four decades ago at First National as a part-time receptionist and bookkeeper during summer and school breaks, and has worked throughout the organization, making her way to her current positions in 2003 and 2006, respectively. Jan received her Bachelor of Business Administration, cum laude, from Southern Methodist University in Dallas, and is a graduate with distinction in leadership from the Southwestern Graduate School of Banking at SMU. Throughout her career, she has been involved in numerous financial organizations, including Texas Bankers Association, in which she served as the 137th chairman. She currently serves on the TBA board and executive committee, the board of trustees for the Southwest Graduate School of Banking, and the advisory board for the banking program at East Texas A&M University. Additionally, she volunteers many hours toward community and civic endeavors and church activities, and was recognized as Winnsboro's 2017 Woman of the Year. In 2022, Bank News magazine named her as one of their outstanding women in banking honorees. Jan most enjoys traveling and spending time with family, her husband of 38 years, Frank, their two sons and daughters in love, and two adorable little granddaughters who call her Grand Jan. I love that bio. I feel like just reading those couple of paragraphs, I have gotten to know you so well. So thank you for that summary, and thank you for appearing with us, Jan. I'm so honored and pleased that you've taken your time out of your day to appear with us.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's quite an honor to be here with you today.
I would like to talk a little bit about the work you've done, especially serving as TBA's chairman. You had an incredible year. TBA has done so much this past year, and I imagine you might be a little bit exhausted after serving on leadership this past year. I wanted to start just with my first question I have for you is, can you tell us about how you envisioned TBA's priorities during your term as board chair, and how did those shape up by the end of the year?
I'll be happy to. One thing about TBA, it truly is a member-led and member-initiated priorities as far as TBA. I mean, what's important to our bankers, what impacts our industry is important to TBA. And so one of the responsibilities and privileges that each year's chairman has is setting forth a few priorities that they would like to be the focus of the association for their upcoming term. And I'll tell you, I am so grateful to the past chairman who gave me a little heads up and some warning that the year passes so quickly, and to have my ducks in a row and be ready to hit the ground running from day one. And that was very wise advice and much appreciated from all of them. So really several months before I took over as chairman, I began thinking through and really praying through what priorities I wanted to set for my year. Priorities that would have the best impact and positive impact for our banks and for our association. And obviously, it is so difficult in 12 months to get a lot of things done. And so the chairman sort of pick up where others have left off and continue some of the priorities. But then I have a few of our own as well. And so really there were five main areas of focus for my priorities as chairman. And the first one is something that I initiated under my chairmanship. And that was really to preserve and protect our community bank charter. When I started looking through the banking industry as a whole, to me, it was alarming when I realized that over the last 25 years, Texas has lost 55% of our bank charters. And I looked, and across the nation, very similar statistics. Our community banks are consolidating, they're leaving the industry, they're selling, or whatever the case may be. You know, in the 80s, there were other issues that we all had to work through and live through, and hope we don't see those times again. But that was really one of my number one goals, is for us to make sure we are doing all we can as an association to preserve the life of our community banking industry, because community banks truly are the lifeblood of their communities. And then, you know, it's no secret that TBA has been involved in several legal battles over the last several years. And so it was very important to me that we continue to lead the way against the fight against the Washington overreach and the mountains of regulations and legislation that has come down the pipe in recent years. And happy to say that we have had several wins on the battlefront, you know, fighting against all of the 1071 regulations, the CRA modernization, and those things. We have not totally won those suits yet, but I'm very pleased with the work that Celeste Embry, our general counsel, and others have done to progress those cases through the courts and the battles that we've received so far. Mm-hmm. And 2024, we all remember, was a hot and heavy election year. And so it was definitely one of my goals for TBA to do all we could to engage our members across the state to make a difference in the election process. And so TBA developed what we called the Get Out the Vote campaign, where we truly engaged bankers all across Texas to educate their staff in their communities on candidates that impact and are pro-banking and impact our industry, so that we could make a difference there. And so, you know, from there, I feel like we were very successful in getting some pro-business, pro-banking folks elected that can make a change for us. And, you know, then the real work begins, trying to lobby and be proactive in making changes through the legislative process. Mm-hmm. Another priority that was very near and dear to my heart is cybersecurity and financial fraud. Banks of all sizes, mine included, I mean, we are not immune to the financial crimes and fraud that is happening, you know, rampantly in our industry. So I really wanted to focus on tools that our bankers can have available, and then what can we do to make it tough? You know, put some penalties and some teeth into folks that are getting caught doing the things they shouldn't do. And I think TBA has been so proactive in that area. We have something called the ISAL, the Information Sharing and Analysis Organization, that TBA has stood up. And it is a great way for our banks to communicate back and forth, boots on the ground when you see an issue or something. Our bankers know about it, and they're sharing with each other so that we can be proactive on that front. Mm-hmm. We have a fraud task force that we have continued. Ray Vituli leads that for us, and he has done a great job of addressing some of those issues. We had a fraud solutions summit to address the financial fraud, and not just talk about it, but to provide resources to our banks to help address the matter. And then TBA was very active, started as early as this time last year, talking with our lieutenant governor at the state capitol, to let him know the challenges that, that our banks and our communities and customers are facing. Mm-hmm. Kate Decker, our assistant deputy counsel at TVA, had a former working relationship. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was her boss at one time. And so, you know, it's good. It's good to have friends in high places
that helps.
There.
That helps.
Yes, it definitely does. And so Kate has done such a great job in developing a fraud package of bills. Mm-hmm. That are working their way through the Texas state legislature. Mm-hmm. In fact, several of them are on Governor Abbott's desk now. Wow. And so excited about those, really showing that we're serious about financial crimes in Texas. Mm-hmm. There. And then another priority is just ensuring the future of our members and our association. Continuing with the great work that Compliance Alliance, Compliance Hub is doing, providing needed resources, not just for our Texas banks, mm-hmm. but for bankers all across the United States. Mm-hmm. Our insurance, Texas Bankers Insurance Agency, mm-hmm. Lots of other means that bring in not only services to our members, mm-hmm. but also income and revenue.
Yep.
To the association. And, you know, it takes dollars to make things work.
Yep.
And over, it's been years since TBA has seen a dues increase. Okay. And I'm proud to say we only have 16% mm-hmm. of our budget revenues that are dues related. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fairly low for associations.
Yeah,
for associations and organizations. And it's through this mm-hmm. collaboration mm-hmm. of all mm-hmm. of the other entities and things we have going on at TBA that have allowed us to do that. And then really protecting the future of our industry. TBA is kind of a unique program partnership with 17 or 18 universities all across the state of Texas. And really developing our own pipeline of bankers. We'd all like to retire someday. And in order to do that, we've got to have folks to take our place.
Yep.
And so Brent Cox is over our partnership mm-hmm. with our universities, with our banking schools, Swigsby and others. And it's really been a model for other state banking associations across our nation. And so just continuing to work on the future of our industry by growing our own talent and then recognizing our up and coming leaders through our Emerging Leader Program, which is very similar to what ABA and other state banking associations have. And then we also have a management development program that is unique and one of its kind, sells out every year, and it just provides leadership skills, the soft skills for our up and coming bankers as well. And so I'm real proud of these priorities and the progress that TBA staff made in addressing all of these issues on behalf of our banks.
Jan, I feel in a good way, I feel overwhelmed just having heard you just give that brief summary. I love how you summarized that because I knew about all these things TBA was doing, but I had not heard it summarized so concisely in that way, the work you've done the past year. How are you feeling professionally and just mentally after juggling all that this past year?
Well, you get by day to day. You do what you have to do and what's in front of you. And definitely my year was not a me effort, but a we effort. You know, TBA staff is absolutely incredible. And it all starts right up at the top. I mean, you know, Chris Furlow, you've had numerous conversations with him. We are so blessed to have him as our president and CEO. His vision, his passion mm-hmm. for our industry is just mm-hmm. incredible. He knows so much about banking and about, you know, cybersecurity and technology mm-hmm. and the whole political process, which mm-hmm. is, you know, I knew very little about before taking the chairman seat. And you know, he just has contacts that are broad and deep and is so well respected in our industry that we're really blessed to have him leading us. And then, Team TBA, our staff, I mean, I cannot say enough great things about them. And they love our industry. They love our association and our banks, and just have such a great appreciation after working with them more closely for the last year for all they do for our banks. And then, right on down to our volunteer leaders. Yeah. We've got so many great bankers who are also great leaders and great people who have a heart for banking and our association and our communities. And they are more than willing to give of their time and their talent to serve on numerous bank boards and committees and things for our association that keep the wheels running at TBA. And so, as chairman, I was just blessed to be a part of it and to see the inner workings of everything working together for the good of our industry.
It sounds like it's been a fascinating year. I can only imagine all the different angles and aspects that you've had to consider, because what I'm hearing from you is TBA's advocacy work. I mean, I'm aware of the litigation work, the advocacy, like the get out the vote. TBA engages both in Texas and on the national front. TBA works over toward Washington as well. And through Compliance Alliance, TBA is allied with many other state bankers associations. So it's something that I find so interesting about what TBA does is not just work within Texas for Texas banks, but also work on the national front. Can you speak to me a little bit, and maybe this is not something that was part of your vision, but how do you incorporate kind of that focus on Texas? Because you're a Texas bank and you were TBA's chair. But also with the national picture of where community banks are going. You mentioned that you had looked not just at, the decrease. I hate even talking about it because it touches me too, but the decrease in charters. And that's not just a Texas thing, that's across the nation. How did you kind of fit your scope, what you were doing in Texas, to also the broader picture of banking in the U.S.?
Well, definitely. We work very closely with our other state associations. We are part of an alliance of 18 banks associations, sort of up the heartland of the nation, and work closely with those. We go to ABA conferences. As part of your chairman year, you go to the ABA Leadership Conference. I was able to go out to San Diego and meet with other ABA chairmen and leaders. The ABA National Convention, it was in New York City this year, and more networking and opportunities there. The summit that ABA holds and hosts each year in DC, where all of the state banking associations across the nation gather at one time to hit the hill and advocate for our banking industry. I think I have a little perspective on the national scope as well. I am part of a CEO network of bankers across the nation. And we meet a couple of times a year to just discuss matters that are important to our bank, challenges that may be going on, share ideas. And, what I've discovered is whether we're here in Texas or we're up the Midwest or located on either coast, our challenges are very similar, and the way we address them are very similar. And what's good for banking in Texas is good for banking across the nation. So it really is a group effort, both in Texas and nationally, to keep community banking alive and well in the United States.
I love that combined focus. And obviously with me working at Compliance Alliance, we do serve banks across the nation. And our heartbeat comes out of Texas. But something I've always appreciated, like I said, is that the TBA has that broader focus. While understanding that, you know, TBA is serving TBA banks, there really is that idea that what works for one will work for all. And when we join together, we are stronger together. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but I really appreciate that focus. And it seems to me that under your leadership, that idea has continued.
I hope so. Definitely believe in everyone pulling in their strengths and us all working together for the good of the industry.
I want to shift a little bit and probe a little bit and ask if you can articulate what were the biggest challenges or triumphs, but challenges and triumphs during your past year as chair.
Well, I'll start with the challenges and just, you know, a couple of maybe personal challenges. I am by no means a professional public speaker, and you can only imagine as a chairman of the largest state banking association in the United States, there are a lot of opportunities to be in front of the crowd, out in the public, representing the association, and you know, a lot of firsts for me, and opportunities for growth, you know, such as this podcast appearance. This is the first podcast appearance. So, Elizabeth, you and Banking Matters will hold a special place in my heart as my first podcast.
And I'm so honored that we get to do that with you.
Yes, we'll see if it's the first of others or if I'm one and done. The verdict's still out there. Lots going on there. I think maybe another challenge is I tend to be very goal oriented. You know, if we've got a task at hand, let's mm-hmm. figure out the most effective, mm-hmm. Efficient, and timely way to address it, and let's just mm-hmm. you know get things going. Mm-hmm. And in case it's a secret, our government doesn't operate that way. Can you imagine? The judicial process, the legislative yep. process is kind of yep. slow and clunky a lot of times. Yep. It's yep. just difficult to get the wheels going and get exactly everything you want to get accomplished in the time frame that you want to get it accomplished. And so it takes a lot of persistence mm-hmm. and patience mm-hmm. to see things through. And I'm much better, I think, on the persistent side of that equation than the patience. That's a challenge for me. I think as far as challenges for our industry, I've already mentioned fraud. Had the opportunity to travel around our state and visit with bankers everywhere. And the reoccurring theme was the fraud that we see on a regular daily basis and the resources mm-hmm. it's taking mm-hmm. to address those mm-hmm. issues. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely industry-wide. One of our greatest challenges that I have seen and heard from our banks.
Kind of tying together a couple of the themes you talked about, fraud is obviously it's a concern, it's a cost drain on banks. It hurts our communities, obviously. I mean, it's heartbreaking when you see a bank customer who's losing money. It's also a financial drain when the bank has to take a financial hit. So I'm so excited about some of the work that's, you know, being put into place to try to be proactive. I love that you use that word proactivity to try to fight this. Nobody wants to be reactive when it comes to financial crime. That's not the position we want to be in. But kind of tying together a little bit, you mentioned leadership programs, mentorship programs for emerging bank leaders. And you mentioned, you know, concerns like fraud and ongoing compliance issues. How do you blend those together? Like, I guess my question to you maybe is, what is advice you would give to emerging leaders about what they should focus on, either with specific issues at the banking level, or how to create a mindset where they're going to be able to creatively engage? I mean, what you've laid out is a lot of creativity and years of intelligent people putting their minds to projects that you've just laid out. So much work that's been done this past year, but I know that that's more than just one year's back work. So how would you engage with future bank leaders on these topics?
I think a lot of it is they just need to take opportunities that are presented to them to network with other emerging bank leaders, with more seasoned bank staff, and soak up knowledge, find mentors. Folks are always willing to pour into other bankers, and it always impresses me how bankers are willing to share information and solutions to problems and issues and challenges and share successes. And so I think that's a lot of it. And then just continue to educate yourself, even on areas that maybe you don't think will be in your future. All knowledge that you learn helps you tie the whole banking system and how banks operate and how we remain safe and sound and profitable. So just soak it all in, the people, the education, the networking. Constantly be working on and investing in yourself. Not just your banking skills, but your soft skills as well.
I love that advice. And I want to maybe wrap up this episode a little bit. I'm going to go a little bit off book. So tell me if you're not comfortable with this, but I would love to hear just a little bit about some of your own background in banking, because we had your bio. It was laid out very incredibly, clearly a long and fascinating career. And then we've talked about your past work. Obviously, this past year has been just an incredible year with TBA. But what can you share, like one or two highlight memories of your past career just over the years that kept you going? Something that energized you or encouraged you? Because I'm sure you've had your highs and lows, just everyone does in their working career. But to achieve this level of what you've achieved professionally, you must have so many stories. I'd love to hear one or two of what's kept you going over the years.
Yeah, I do, and I'd never really feel comfortable talking about myself and things that are going on, but I just have a passion for our industry. I mean, I guess you could say maybe it's in my DNA. My great grandfather was a little community banker back in the turn of the century, 1900s.
Oh, I love
And
that.
yes, I mean, literally, when you kind of go to the grocery store, the market, and see your banker all at once. And he got out of that and did some other things. But both my mom and dad were bankers, and that's sort of what enticed me to get into the industry itself. I mean, at age 15, I started working
I
in the
love
bank.
it.
Yeah, and I mean, answered the phones back in bookkeeping. If I had time off, my dad felt it was really best spent working. And so I'm really grateful for the strong work ethic he gave me and the love for our industry and the heart for community service. And so I really feel like it's our duty as bankers to invest back into our communities and to serve and to help others when we can. And so that's one of the things and passions that really drives me is not just the banking industry and what we can do, but giving back to our communities and our industry. And so I think that's sort of as chairman, I really wanted to engage as many of our members as I could into giving back to our industry and to others. And so every opportunity I had to speak, I issued a real simple challenge to all of our bankers, and that was to pray, do, go, and give. And prayer is so important, not just for the association leadership, but I also challenged them to say some hard prayers for our regulators and the folks who legislate us, because they need wisdom as well. And then I encourage everyone to do their part in letting us hear their challenges and really getting back to the energizing part, just listening and hearing from other bankers definitely gives you the motivation to want to work for our industry. And challenge them all to do their part in getting to the polls and voting, and to do their part in developing relationships with their local, state, and national representatives, developing those relationships, because I think that's so important. And then, you know, going to the networking, you know, going to association events and supporting those, and going to the state capitol in D.C., being, you know, on the Hill and around other bankers, working toward that common goal of good for our industry is definitely energizing. And then I challenge everyone to give, you know, to give back to our state bank pack, to give to our foundation that helps others in need. And it's just what a blessing to see how everyone answered that challenge and stepped up and gave generously like bankers do. So I think, you know, just relationships, other bankers, being around folks with similar passions of my own, it's really what keeps you going and keeps you energized and keeps you working for the good of our industry and our communities.
I love that theme of relationships. Back when I was a lender, we talked a lot about relationship banking. I worked at a community bank, and that was very much the approach from the banker toward the customer. But the relationships within banking as well, within the industry, we can use the term networking. That seems a little bit more cold, but it's just building relationships. It's having conversations like we're having right now. That's what energizes me and excites me about how we can work together to solve big problems. There's big stuff to do. Just, you know, even just the fraud question like you raised. But just, yeah, one step at a time, conversations, putting people's heads together and working together. That's what excites me. And I have been so excited to see the work you're doing, because it seems to me you are really leaning into what you just expressed, that attitude of working together and building those relationships. I love that.
So important. It's how we all move forward.
It is. Well, Jan, I just appreciate your time so much. I feel like our time here has flown by. I have learned from you. I've been inspired by you. Thank you. Just on behalf of all of us who have watched your service to TBA this past year, thank you for the work you've done and the inspiration you've been to people like me, who's hoping to do many more years in my career in banking. I love that I get to look to people like you who are in leadership roles and, yeah, can provide just insight and another step along the way. We thank you for your time. We thank you for your service. And anything else you'd like to add before we end the episode?
If you ever have an opportunity to volunteer for your state associations, or especially are invited to serve as chairman, say yes. It has been the most rewarding experience, definitely the highlight of my career. And so say yes, and you will not be sorry, I promise you. And so thank you, Elizabeth, for our time together and for your kind words. It's quite an honor to have served as TBA's chairman, and I'm not going anywhere. I'll continue in service, because our chairman remain as past chairman and active in our association, and that's one of the things I just love about TBA is we truly are a close-knit group and continue to work for a lifetime for the good of our industry.
I love that. We're going to continue to benefit from your wisdom, your leadership, and I'm going to take those words as we close out our episode. Say yes. Lean into the opportunities and say yes. Thank you, Jan, for your time. Thank you, folks who have tuned in and listened to another episode. We always appreciate knowing that our listeners have engaged, and we will look forward to the next episode. Until then, I'm Elizabeth Holtrup, and this has been Banking Matters.